Welcome in to Vern's post-game show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, let's do this again. 4-2, the final score. Royals drop another one. We got 69 games left. And I don't say that like I'm counting them down. I say that because it's just rough, man. It's rough when no matter how many positive things happen, like in game one, a handful of positives, Alec Marsh, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. And there were positives in this 4-2 loss. Bobby Witt Jr. again, and a 25-year-old starting pitcher again, this one being Cole Reagans. There were positives, but I know and I understand that most of Kansas City, I don't know if that's fair. No, it is. Most of Kansas City is tuned out. The only type of update they get on the Royals is the local news or the newspaper or social media. And that update is normally just the final score. And the final score, again, back-to-back losses. Two losses in one day. You're now 41 games below 500. That's a new low water mark on the season. I say it's rough because, and I understand and I sympathize, most Kansas Cityans don't care. All I know is you stink. All I know is you lost two games in one day. Last time I saw you, you were getting swept by the Twins and you dropped 3 of 4 against Cleveland. So ladies and gentlemen, if you have been listening to this show, if you remain dialed in with this ball club, thank you, first of all. And you may be the only one out there that understands what Cole Reagans did this evening, what Alec Marsh did this afternoon, what Bobby Witt Jr. has been doing for a month and a half. Now, I'm not saying search for the silver lining. This has been a lost season, a miserable summer, a endlessly disappointing 2023. But you got 69 games to go. It's your hometown team. I'm here. You're here. Let's find the positives in this one. Now, that's why it's rough. Now, if you want to talk about this game, let's hear from you. The phone lines are open. Now, I have a question for you because I can't imagine there are many of you that want to dissect the X's and O's of this a 4-2 loss. The 67th loss here in game number 9. Want to talk about the game itself? Call me up. Shoot me a text message on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. The numbers are the same. Phone line, text line. It's 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. And if you were one of the 18,000 in attendance on this steamy Saturday night, we're not going to make you wait on hold. We'll get you right to the top of the line. Phone lines are open for you again. 913-586-7610. And again, there were a few things to discuss, right? Cole Reagans makes his Royals debut, and he's pumping it in there at 98, 99, even as the game went on. He's still 96, 97. That was impressive. And I'll be honest with you, look, I never act like I'm always right or I got this whole thing figured out. Never. But as I'm watching him through the first two innings sit up in the high 90s, I'm thinking there's no way this kid's getting through five innings. He is way too amped up, overthrowing. He is going to run out of gas in the fifth inning. I was wrong. The velocity came down a tick later on, but he looked strong through five. Facing Jose Siri and Wander Franco three times, retiring him when facing him a third time. So I got nothing bad to say about Cole Reagans. In fact, you cannot be anything other than impressed, intrigued, maybe some of you are excited with what you saw from the 25-year-old lefty that the Royals acquired for Aroldis Chapman. As I said earlier today on the On Deck show, guys like Reagan's is what this has all been for. The first 93 games of this miserable season that you and I have endured. The only way it's worth it, the only way it's worth the losses, signing Aroldis Chapman in the offseason, the only way it's worth it, the only way you're going to turn this thing around, and this is going to be square one, and it's upward momentum from here, is if guys like Cole Reagan's work. That's what's laid at the feet of J.J. Piccolo and the rest of his front office. Turn this miserable summer into something positive. So far, so good. Talking about Cole Reagan's. Again, 5 innings, 1 run on 4 hits. He strikes out 3. He walks 2. He doesn't factor in the decision. Nice job, Cole Reagan's. Now go do it again. If that sounds unfair, welcome to the big leagues. Nice job, Cole Reagan's. Go do it for the final 2.5 months. I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound crass. I don't mean to sound unappreciative as a Royals fan. But that's the name of the game. We've seen plenty of pitchers have nice outings. We've seen plenty of pitchers have nice debuts. Go do it again. Alec Marsh, great job this morning. Go do it again. Bobby Witt Jr., another extra base hit. Now, Bobby's been doing it for about 2 months now. Bobby had a very good rookie season, and he looks to be having an even better sophomore campaign. Bobby's starting to put numbers together that are reflective of a top two pick, of a franchise cornerstone, of one of the best under 25 ball players in all of Major League Baseball. Keep in mind, playing every single day, premium position, hitting at the top of the lineup, and producing. While everyone else around him is flailing, going up and down and up and down, Bobby has been very consistent for about 2 months now. So there is plenty to discuss if you want to dissect this 4-2 Royals defeat. Feel free. 913-586-7610. Now, the loss, now you can put it on the bullpen if you want, but if you've been listening to this show, I've been telling you, the Royals bullpen is going to give up runs, plural, just about every single game. You don't get to 41 games below 500 without a bad bullpen. And you've traded Aroldis Chapman, and Scott Barlow might be on his way out. The bullpen's not getting any better. And I thought I was being optimistic earlier today on the On Deck show when I said 70% of the games from here on out, the bullpen's going to give up at least one run. We might need to bump that up to about 80% of the remaining games. But this loss isn't on the bullpen. To me, it's on Salvador Perez. When Bobby Witt Jr. gets that leadoff double in the sixth inning, Royals leading 2-1, you gotta get him in. Man on second, nobody out. Salvi, you know the deal. I'm not going to harp on it because of what you've done in your career, and nobody's going to beat themselves up more than Salvi. Man on second, nobody out. You got to put the ball in play. Salvi goes foul ball, strikeout looking on a sweeper painted on the inside part of the black. So, you know, Salvi, we're not going to scream about Salvador Perez, but that strikeout looking, that's the game. In my opinion, that's the game. 2-1 Royals at that point. If Salvi advances into third, MJ drives him in with that ground ball to the right side, and it's 3-1 Royals. Who knows how this game turns out? Don't feel the need to harp on it, but in my opinion, this loss is laid at the feet of the great Salvador Perez. Oh, well, bound to happen. First time I think I've said that all season. The guy's your all-star for a reason. But it's a game of baseball. It's the beautiful game of baseball. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to have their day in the sun. Everybody's going to have their day as the GOAT. Not the good GOAT. The old school. The bad GOAT. And that today was Salvador Perez. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. Let's start off in Olathe. Jared, you're hitting leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I went to the game tonight, and I'm going to turn back to what you said earlier on the show. You said something along the lines that it's been a miserable summer for the Royals and for fans all around, and I'm going to be honest with you, I couldn't agree with you anymore. This is awful. I went to the game tonight, and the only highlight that I had tonight was I caught a T-shirt from the Blue Crew. And not just that, the fireworks. The fireworks were awesome, too. They were spot on. They were popping more than the bats were tonight. I can't stand it. I mean, we have runners in position, on bases, and we can't hit the ball for nothing. And I've gone brain dead. I can't think of a way or anything to solve this problem. I'm not a coach. I'm not a manager. I'm nothing. But, hey, look, I can't figure this out. I don't know what we're doing. We just need to throw this whole season away and restart everything. I'm tired.
Well, you're certainly not brain dead. There's nothing wrong with you, Jared. I can promise. Well, I don't really know you that well. There might be something wrong with you, but thanks for the phone call. As it pertains to this conversation, no, I don't think that there's anything wrong with you. As far as throwing this entire season away, there's no reason to do that. 69 games remain, and I'll reiterate what I said earlier today on the previous post-game show. So long as this organization abides by what it's learned in this evaluation season, I'm fine with it. Now, it's been awful. It's been very difficult to watch. It's been darn near impossible to think of something new to say night in and night out, sometimes twice a day like today. But I don't want to throw this season away. What I want is when 162 games have been played by this team. Now, hopefully MJ, who singled in the second inning, MJ, keep in mind, singled in game one. So a pair of knocks for MJ Melendez today. MJ did not punch out in game two either. Went 1-for-4, no strikeouts. My point is this. When the season is done, so long as this organization abides by what it learned from this evaluation season, I'm fine with it. Meaning, you know, don't make the same mistake that the previous regime made. When players tell you we're not capable, believe them. If we play 162 games and MJ doesn't put together a consistent month, or if Michael Massey doesn't put together a consistent offensive month, if Nick Prado doesn't show the capability of being someone to hit in the top five of your lineup, believe him. You call it an evaluation season. Use these 162 games to come to a conclusion and then act upon it. If they do that, I won't complain. But if we get to the offseason and they say, MJ didn't have a great year, or Massey didn't have a great year, or Prado didn't have a great year, sure. But we believe there's more in there, and we want to see him again for another season. Now, that's when you'll irk me. You know, don't tell me that you put us through 6 months of this to say, well, I'm still not sure about fill-in-the-blank player. That's when you'll really start to draw the ire of myself, and I would imagine scores of Royals fans. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Dennis in Kearney. Dennis, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, I missed the first game entirely. Who was batting cleanup in the first game?
Kyle Isbell.
Okay, Kyle Isbell is hitting .205. What is he doing batting cleanup, for one thing?
MJ Melendez bat cleanup in game two.
Yeah, but first game was Isbell. Well, what's he doing in there batting cleanup with a .205 batting average? Are you trying to win games, or are you just trying to throw games away?
Well, who did you want to see in the cleanup spot?
Well, anybody but a
No, give me a
hitter.
Name. No, you got to give me a name. Who'd you want to see?
I don't know. There'd be somebody off the bench that I don't know them all that well, but there'd be somebody off the bench that is hitting better than .205.
You would think so, but guess what? They're 41 games below .500. Therein lies the problem. They don't have anybody better.
Yeah, well, in the second game, they're down by one run, and leading off the top of the bottom of the eighth inning is Isabel. He just went 0 for 4 in the first game, and then you bring him in as a pinch hitter in the bottom of the eighth.
Dennis, let me ask you a question. You think this team's got a bunch of talent? You think that's how they ended up 41 games below 500?
But I'm not sure the manager's he doesn't hold a candle to Ned Yost, let me tell you. I've watched Ned Yost all these years. I'm 84 years old. He knew how to manage. This guy doesn't manage as far as I'm concerned.
Really? Okay. All right. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Nope. You guys want me to scream? No, nobody wants me to scream. Way too late in the season to be screaming. Kyle Isbell's the issue. Okay, Kyle Isbell. See, I don't want to start yelling. Kyle Isbell came to the plate in the eighth inning as a pinch hitter for who? Huh? Dairon Blanco. You know what he's hitting? .188. Oh, we don't want Isbell in there. He's hitting .205. Okay. Yeah, he pinch hit for a guy hitting .188. The guy that hit cleanup, MJ Melendez, hitting .207. Who'd you want in there? You want Michael Massey hitting .214? Nick Prado, who has 60 strikeouts in his last 126 at-bats? They're 41 games below 500. They don't have a lot of good players. What are we talking about? You're blaming the manager? Furthermore, this whole Ned Yost thing, man, you guys just forget. You just purposely misremember. You wanted him fired midway through the wild card game. He was being called the dunce in the ALCS in 2014. You didn't love Ned Yost. I'm sorry. You didn't. You didn't, sir. And 90% of you listening didn't love him until... When did you start liking Ned Yost? Maybe the World Series in 2014? Yeah, it doesn't hold a candle to Ned Yost. Yeah, you know what Ned had? And I've brought this up too, Ned. Ned had talent. Yeah, Selby hit seventh. Gordo hit eighth. Yeah. Ned had Kendrys Morales and Eric Hosmer as cleanup hitters. You got Kyle Isbell and MJ Melendez. It's a managerial problem. Now that's the stuff that just frustrates me so much, especially when it's someone as knowledgeable as you, Dennis. You've been a baseball fan your entire life. You're 84 and you haven't learned that talent overrides everything. No, let Dairon Blanco, he'll be the one to get us started in the eighth inning. No, that's not where the game was lost. It's when your eight-time All-Star, I don't want to even say stares at a strike three call because it was a borderline pitch, but Salvi's got to come through. If anybody's going to come through on this team, it's got to be number 13, and he didn't. Didn't advance that runner in a big spot in the sixth inning. Every time I do it, I act like, oh, I'm not gonna get frustrated tonight, and here I am, sweating my ass. Excuse me, sorry. I am sweating, though. Let's go to Carl in Belton. Carl, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
The ownership said this year is going to try out what we've got. And if you look, we're getting rid of all of our old players. They're bringing up the young players. And our pitcher has got sent back down after the game tonight. He was only up here for the doubleheader.
He'll be back.
He's done.
He'll be back.
He'll be back, yes. And he threw a hell of a game. And if everybody forgets, yes, Salvi didn't hit that ball. But if you stop and think, the Rays ran themselves out of two runs also. Got thrown out at home, and they threw their guy out at second in the first inning, then a walk and a single right after that. There was another run. So it could have been worse than 4-2. But I like the way they're going. They've got some stuff to learn. The manager's doing what he's got with what the hand he's dealt with.
Yeah.
Yes, I was a Ned Yost fan. I like Ned Yost. He came from the Braves. This guy came from the Rays, same talent pool that the Braves had when he was there at the Rays. I think we're going to be okay once he gets what he wants done.
And I hope so, Carl. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that phone call, and I hope you're right. Thank you very much. Let's go to Anthony in Kansas City. Anthony, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals fall 4-2 to Tampa. Oh, we lost Anthony. Oh, it's too bad. Let's try Eileen in Olathe. Go ahead, Eileen.
Well, I'm going to bring positivity, and you can shame me if you want. But it was a beautiful night at the ballpark. I got to see a rookie pitcher get their first strikeout. There was a young family with three little kids next to me up in the upper deck, and it was their first game ever, and they loved it. And on the big screen, you could see the boys' youth baseball team that just went crazy every time they were up there. It was still a good night.
Yeah. Ripping their shirts off, those kids were awesome.
Yeah. I mean, so we are horrible. You know what? Still fun baseball. Beautiful night.
No doubt, Eileen. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. You're going to be hard-pressed to find a more picturesque Saturday night than finding yourself at Kauffman Stadium. No doubt about it. I remind myself of that every single day, Eileen. But thank you for adding to that and voicing that on this show. Yeah, not only was that baseball team, those little guys out there ripping their shirts off and just going bananas when the camera hit them. I don't know if any of these young ladies are listening, but a hearty salute to that group of young women who were dressed up as older women. I don't know if it was a bachelorette party, if it was a birthday party, someone was turning dirty 30. I don't know what that was, but bravo. Y'all did it right. I don't know if you guys remember they showed them on Crown Vision. I don't know if it came up on television, but there was this little group up in the 400s of, I don't know how old they were, but young ladies all dressed up like grandmothers, and they did a terrific job. Annie Rogers and I were giving them plenty of kudos throughout the game. No. Yeah. Again, still, it's still a terrific evening. So long as you're not solely focused on the scoreboard. Which I don't know how you can be this deep into the season, a season like this, where you're on pace to lose 117 games. Oof, man, say that out loud. Now, it wasn't Cole Reagan's first big league strikeout. He's made his big league debut. He made his big league debut last year with Texas. Now he picked up his first strikeout as a Royal, blowing 99 past Jose Siri right out of the gate. That made everybody in the press box go, hold up. Oh, man, I knew he had a big old fastball. I didn't know he was going to be riding 98, 99 consistently for the first two frames. No doubt about it. There were positives tonight. There are always positives in every baseball game, just like there are always negatives. Even in the biggest wins ever, the wild card game, plenty of negatives. Game 5 in New York against the Mets, there were negatives in that game as well. That's the beauty of baseball. That's the beauty of life. What do you look for? What do you take with you? Are you focused on the negative? Are you focused on the positive? Can you utilize perspective and acknowledge both? Royals lose 4-2. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Charlie in Prairie Village. Charlie, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, boss.
Yeah, good evening here. I'm kind of in the dark here, but anyway.
Sorry to hear that, man.
No, it's... the people across the street, their lights just went on, so maybe it'll be on before too long.
Come on, Evergy.
Okay. Anyway, I just had three quick things. The first of all, and I followed baseball, you know, from I had ribs with Ted Williams. Let's put it that way. My dad made him a slab of ribs.
When? I'll let you get to your points, but I'm too much of a baseball nerd not to hear this story.
Oh no, he met him. My dad met him at the American Legion in Shawnee, and they just hit it off, and my dad said, you know, he got us tickets anyway, And but anyway, after the game, he came over to a parking lot where you used to be. You park here, 50 cents, leave the keys, we'll watch it. Okay, so it was that. And Ted came over there and had ribs and then gave my dad and talked to him before, after that, about salmon and the stuff he does, because he was a huge fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
What he did was salmon. So he couldn't have been nicer. And he said, the only thing is here, and I was, oh, maybe 10, 9, something like that. He said, I got to really watch my language, though, with
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And my dad said, well, I'm sure he's heard it. But anyway,
That's good.
So, okay, I just had a couple things here.
Sure.
The first was, who was the guy responsible in charge of scouting when all this young talent was drafted?
The talent that is here currently?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that are here right now. Lonnie Goldberg.
Okay.
Lonnie Goldberg was in charge of scouting back in 2019 when you drafted Marsh and Bobby and Vinny
okay.
and Massey. Yeah, yeah. In 2017 with Prado and Melendez, and 18 with Singer and Lynch.
Okay. My point is, J.J. was a piece of that action, okay?
No doubt.
Colo.
Yep.
And I don't know if he's... I don't know. I don't care for him. I mean, I just keep... There's some bad thoughts in my mind about him. The next thing was that the manager, Hugh, have you looked up what his background is? It's very interesting. You know, low-level ball and was a bench coach for, what, 1 year, and now he's a manager? I would just like to see him get someone with maybe... Is Joe Madden still available or something like that? Get someone with some experience in there. Because I'm not blaming him, mm-hmm. but he was not the cog with the Rays. And so anyway, that's for what it's worth. But it's interesting to look up his background. And it really wasn't a whole lot. But anyway, and then the final thing, if you watch the All-Star game and follow like Camp and some of them, are we lax in getting Latin American players?
International signings?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about where the Rays focus, and look how many guys they have. And if you watch the All-Star game, three-fourths of them had to have a translator, which is fine, but they're from the Dominican Republic and all that.
Sure.
So I just wondered, these All-Stars, just look how many of them were, and they're young. And I just want to think maybe we need, I'll tell you, that would be something maybe Salvi could do, would be our chief scout or someone down in them areas.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the phone call. The Royals have, plenty of people not, Salvi's got enough that he needs to worry about. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, Michael Garcia, Salvador Perez, Kelvin Herrera, Yordano Ventura, those names all came via international signings. We could take a look at the minor leagues. I know there's a few names down in A-ball. Some have disappointed, like an Eric Pena. Some are, still finding their way. But I certainly wouldn't say that they're last in Major League Baseball. I really don't know how to quantify that. You look at the Rays. They didn't sign Randy Arozarena. They fleeced the Cardinals to acquire Randy Arozarena. Isak Paredes came over in a trade. Wander Franco they signed. Jose Siri came over in a trade. Yandy Diaz, I believe, came over in a trade. So it's not, again, comparing yourself to Tampa is a fool's errand. Everyone's trying to replicate it, and no one is coming close. Also, as far as Matt Quatrero is concerned, I think he got a few of those numbers off. He spent the past 4 years as the bench coach. He was the third base coach before that. Before that, he was an assistant hitting coach for, four seasons in Cleveland, and then had numerous years as a minor league manager. So he's done just about everything in the game outside of working with pitchers. Experience is actually his hallmark. He's gone through plenty of other interviews. This is a guy that Tampa and anyone that has covered that team has been surprised that it took so long for him to get a job. So you might want to reread the article of whatever you were reading about the background of Matt Cutrero. He actually has, you know, of everyone that was hired this past offseason, not named, you know, future Hall of Famer Bruce Bochy, I don't believe anybody has the type of experience that Q had. And then your point about J.J. Piccolo, look, I'm not going to endlessly defend him, but you know, I've been around him since I got here 11 years ago, and he is very different than Dayton Moore. I don't understand this disdain. Nah, disdain's probably too strong of a word, but this leery attitude that so many Royals fans have towards him because he worked in a big league front office. I you know, like you're saying with Q, you want a guy with a lot of experience. Well, I'm glad that JJ's had a front row seat to everything that a baseball organization needs and does. I mean, the guy has had every single role over the past 17 years in which he's been in Kansas City, prior to that being in Atlanta. To me, that's a good thing. And like Josh Klingler from Fesco in the Morning, like he said recently on our Royal State of the Union, which if you missed it, you can find it on the Odyssey app. It was Thursday from 9 to 11. But like Kling said, and I think it's so very relatable the way that he said it, every single one of us at our own job, myself included, have thought to myself, and you've thought to yourself, man, if I was ever the boss of this place, I would do this different, I would do that different, I wouldn't do that. I'd keep doing this, but I would stop doing that. Right? So I don't understand why that same grace isn't given to J.J. Piccolo. You're telling me that he's sat there watching Dayton Moore over the past decade and a half and agreed with everything? I mean, I know for a fact, even when Dayton was still here, I know for a fact that JJ didn't agree with everything. Now, sure, he learned what to do, sometimes what not to do. And listen, and I don't want to fight too hard defending him, but it is my opinion that this is year one of the J.J. Piccolo rebuild, not year seven. I know you and I, this is year seven that we've been waiting for a winner. But that's just, in my opinion, it's just not fair. It's not fair to say, J.J., we're holding you responsible for the guy, for the mistakes made by the guy that you replaced. I just don't know how that's fair. If you could explain it to me, go for it. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. We'll take a quick timeout. Royals lose 4-2. They drop both games of a day-night doubleheader to the Tampa Bay Rays. We get to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
First pitch to Garcia, and he laces it to right field, hangs up for Margot. A step back, he makes a catch over his cap. Brano tags up from third, into score standing, and the Royals tie the game at one. Sacrifice fly, Mikel Garcia.
Yeah, we're playing highlights of a sack fly. What? So what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that means the Royals lost. Whatever. 4-2, the final score. Mikel Garcia, sack fly there in the third, tied things up at one apiece. Royals would take a 2-1 lead thanks to a fielder's choice off of the bat of Dairon Blanco, which, you know, credit to Dairon Blanco, had a nice day. a bunt single in the third inning and then beats out what could have been an inning-ending double play. Instead, he beats it out, allows Drew Waters to score, and gives the Royals a 2-1 lead. They had a chance to build on that one-run lead, could have made it two after a leadoff double from Bobby in the sixth. He has not advanced as Salvador Perez strikes out looking at a sweeper from, was it Colin Criswell? Who knows? That Criswell kid. It was on the black. You know, I'd like to see Salvi get that call. God knows he's earned it. But it's called strike three. Bobby stays at second base. He advances to third on an MJ Melendez ground out. Two outs, man on third. Freddie Fermin flies out to shallow right field to the Rays second baseman, ending the threat. But the Royals are still up 2-1. Unfortunately, the bullpen door opens. And as I've told you, 80% of the time, the Royals bullpen is going to give up a run. Not every time it opens up. That I just mean 80% of the games from here on out, the Royals bullpen's going to give up at least one run. And they gave up three. Three different relievers, each one of them giving up one run. Jonathan Heasley in the seventh, Carlos Hernandez in the eighth, and Dylan Coleman in the ninth inning. So a 2-1 lead turns into a 4-2 loss, and the boys are now 41 games below 500 for the first time in 2023. Well, as a matter of fact, they're 41 below for the first time since the end of the 2019 season. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Parker. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Parker, thanks for the phone call. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering what you thought about the bullpen, because I was at the game and I thought that they were taking the pitchers out whenever they were still doing well.
I got you. Thanks for the phone call. Well, you know, that's normally how it works with bullpen arms in 2023. You get your one inning and then you go hit the showers. And Jose Kwas comes in and throws a scoreless sixth inning on 17 pitches. Did his job. Nice job, Jose. Other than that, I don't know who you wanted to see more of. Again, like I mentioned, Heasley, Hernandez, and Coleman all gave up one run. All gave up leadoff singles that came around to score. So, I'm not trying to dump on any guy individually, but I appreciate it. I appreciate the attempt that many of you are making to act as if it's a decision. It's a managerial decision that's holding this team back. Man, I wish that was true. Oh, boy, do I wish that was true. Man, I wish we could dissect the decisions that are being made by Matt Quatrero. But that's just, it's not, that's not it. That's not why. It's not why you lost tonight. It's not why you're 41 games below 500. I mean, bring Bruce Bochy. Let's say the Royals hired Bruce Bochy, future Hall of Famer, one of the best as far as calling on the right arm at the right time out of the bullpen. One of the best of all time. Bring Bruce Bochy. 3-2-1. Bring Bruce Bochy here. You want to know what the Royals' record is? No. Right now, the Royals' record is 26-67. I'd say if Bochy was the manager, the Royals would be 28-65. And I think I'm being very generous because of the reverence I have for that big-headed Bruce Bochy. I don't mean he's got a big ego. I mean, he's just got a noggin. Like, it's an imposing noggin. So, yeah, I'll say he's worth two wins. I wish managers mattered more. I wish they did. But I learned my lesson with the Royals Hall of Famer, Ned Yost. Not saying that, again, he's a Royals Hall of Famer. Not taking anything away from him. But he told me, do you think I became a smarter manager in 2015? Do you think I became a, a smarter baseball man in October of 2014, Vern? Of course not. I just had talent. That's all that matters. I was always the same guy. They called me a dunce. I get some talent, and now I'm going to the Royals Hall of Fame. I got love for Ned Yost, but I also listen to what he tells me. Bottom line is talent. Do you have it? No. Bruce Bochy, going to the Hall of Fame. You want to know why? Buster Posey, Tim Lincecum, Sergio Romo, Madison Bumgarner, Matt Cain, Hunter Pence. He's going to the playoffs again in Texas. You want to know why? Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Josh Young, Jonah Heim. They just acquired Aroldis Chapman, who picked up his first save as a member of the Texas Rangers. Talent! That's all that matters. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Alex. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the boys fall 4-2 to the Rays. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to your show probably almost every day. Appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Yeah. My main point is I'm getting kind of sick and tired of hearing that this is an evaluation season. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that, but I think that's what the minor leagues are for, college ball. Yeah. This is the major league. I mean, there's only, what, like 32 teams across the country. We need, players to, they need to be competitive, all I'm asking is just, be over 500.
Right.
And if these guys can turn it around, then, I'd be happy. But I'm just asking for, a competitive Royals team. And, that's all I got to say for you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to get no disagreement from me. That's why I was so angry throughout the month of April. That's why, I wasn't on the radio very much during spring training because of the, the Super Bowl. But it was a good thing I wasn't on the radio much during spring training because I was irate. Because of what you're saying, Alex. Because it is professional baseball. And you're right, yes, you evaluate in the minor leagues. What are you doing? You're going into a season waving a white flag? I'm not doing that. So, I was angry throughout the month of April because I couldn't go along with it. Could not go along with it. No, I was holding them to a standard of wins matter in April. And then, I can only bang my head against the wall so much. And then you got to call a spade, and by the month of May, it was obvious it was not in the cards for the boys in blue. So then I started to maybe not embrace the evaluation season, but for my own mental health, I would acknowledge what it was, and it was an evaluation season. Now, the only way I can get with it, the only way I can embrace it, is if I'm in the shoes of J.J. Piccolo. Because if I'm in the shoes of the Royals general manager, and you guys are making his case for him, the way you conflate the two, the way that you say, new boss, same as the old boss, J.J. Piccolo, Dayton Moore, one and the same. If I'm J.J., I'm not going to John Sherman this previous offseason. I'm not willing to put my name on the line. In my first full year as general manager, I'm not willing to put my name on the line for a bunch of players that, A, I didn't sign off on, I didn't draft, I didn't acquire. I'm not going to say, hey, John, can we go spend the type of money that we need to put a winner on the field? I'm not asking my boss to do that in year one when I don't know what I have. Was J.J. here? Sure. Should he have an idea of what he has? Yeah, and he did. But if you're in his shoes, would you have gone to John Sherman and said, hey, boss, I need about $60 million? We need to spend $60, $70 million on pitching, maybe a hitter here and there. And if you can go out and spend $70, if you can allow me to spend it on two starting pitchers and a bat, that's all we need. Would you have been that confident in the in-house talent that they're two starters and a bat away? No. No, as we're seeing in this evaluation season. No, they need a lot more than that. So if I'm in J.J. Piccolo's shoes, boss, let's give him 1 year. 1 year, and then I'll gut it. I'll make the difficult decisions. I'll part with players that I see something in, but not enough. Give me 162 games. Let's watch them all, and then we'll make the hard decisions at the end of the year. Even if we drafted you in the first round, the second round, the third round, we will part with your services after this evaluation season. So long as they abide by the results of this evaluation season, I'm all good with it. But if they try to run it back with way too many of these guys, okay. Yeah. Then we start to revolt. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're going to see some, whoa, kind of moves this offseason. Well, some people thought cutting Hunter Dozier or DFAing Amir Garrett was a whoa move. I think we got more whoa moves forthcoming this season and plenty of them this offseason. Thanks for the phone call, Alex. 913-586-7610. Let's head out to Leawood. Talk with Jesse. You're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Vern, I've been listening to you for about the past year. I'm a retiree and love baseball.
Thanks, man.
Got a couple questions. I got a grandson that plays baseball out here in Johnson County. Mm-hmm. I won't say the organization, but one of the coaches is Bobo Starling.
Nice.
I was amazed when I seen him coaching my son 2 years ago. Wow. Because my son moved up to a different level now, my grandson. And that man, he's still in great shape. He's 30 years old.
Yep.
It's obvious the Royals gave up on him, man, but I think that man could still play baseball. He couldn't be no worse than Melendez out there in the field.
No.
As far as covering territory, he's like a gazelle when he runs, long-legged, doesn't hesitate, has instincts. I wish the Royals would hire him in some capacity. He don't need to be teaching 3-2 kids out there. He's only 30 years old. Give the man a call.
Well, maybe that's what he wants to do. Let him live his own life. Maybe that's what he wants to do to groom the next generation of great baseball players in the area. I think it's commendable.
But the thing about it, I heard Hud talk about him. That he ran into him out here where I live, my here in Stanley, Kansas, and he asked him, you know, man, you still got some life in you, you know, why don't you go back to try to get back in football at Nebraska where, you know, you had a chance to go there, but he's like any young player, they threw the money at him, they gave him a contract, and he took it. And he just, I guess he didn't develop the way they wanted. Now he's out of football.
Yeah.
But he's a great young man. So
he sure is. Yeah, no doubt. We wish nothing but the best for Bubba Starling. I got nothing bad to say about him. He was a joy to be around.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I'm just happy that
I hope your grandson knows how lucky he is to learn from someone that has been through as much as Bubba. He could be a great coach if he wanted to.
And the thing about that young man, and you were talking about, the news was talking about Zach Greinke. I think he had an operation a while back on his shoulder, and my grandson had an operation on his arm a couple of days ago. And the doctor that performed the operation worked on Greinke. So I told my grandson, man, you're getting calls from heaven. Take care of yourself.
You do the same. Thank you very much. Oh. All right. Well, never thought I'd hear that. But, well, that's why you keep showing up, right? It's a beautiful thing about baseball. You show up to the ballpark and you might see something or hear something that's never been done or never been said before in the history of the sport. And that, my friends, has happened tonight. Let's go to Kyle in the Northland. Kyle, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern. Welcome back.
Thanks, man. Nice to hear from you.
Good. Yeah, it's good to hear your voice again. We missed you.
Thanks, man.
I just had to hop on here and speak my mind about Q, Vern. I hope Dennis and Carney and the other Q detractors didn't turn off the radio, because all Royals fans need to be cognizant of the possibility that Q probably isn't given full autonomy over his lineup this season without it being mandatory, the evaluation season. So think like Moneyball when Billy Beane was telling the manager who he's allowed to play. It might not be as contentious since Q sort of knew what he was signing up for when he took the job. But Vern, I have a PSA for all Royals fans out there. Embrace the suck. This season sucks. Embrace it. Because you know what, Vern? I bet 9 out of 10 of these fans complaining were the ones screaming last year, bring the young guys up and let them play, when our boys in blue went up to Toronto. This is what you asked for, so embrace the suck, Royals fans. I'm a big fan of Coach Q, and I love the Royals. Whether they win or lose, we still booze over here. And as a former high school and low-level college umpire, it's very refreshing to see a lifelong baseball man who has shed the modus operandi of screaming at the umps and having a toddler-style meltdown in front of everyone. As a grown man, that behavior is unacceptable, so I'm a ride for Coach Q. Royals fans need to understand he probably isn't in full control of his lineup, and that might just be my opinion, but embrace the suck, my friends. And as always, Vern, win or lose, we still listen to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Good stuff. Now, I probably could just let it go, because you even said, I don't think it's contentious between the front office and Matt Quatrero when it comes to the lineup. There's no doubt. I want to see Bobby. We want to see MJ and Prado. Put them. That's why you would see them hitting at the top so consistently early on in the season. Again, Q came into this eyes wide open. Yeah, I'm sure there are times where he would say, man, Matt Duffy's bats would give us a better chance to win this game. But he also, I don't think, has the guillotine waiting for him, right? Again, eyes wide open. He knew what it was when he signed up. We've been telling you since the beginning of the season that it's an evaluation season. I don't think anyone's floored that this year has the Royals in last place. I don't know if anyone expected 41 games below 500 here on the 15th of July. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks to our friends at Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. Thanks to them for all their support all season long here on the postgame show. Royals drop both games of a day-night doubleheader to the Rays, dropping Game 1 by a final count of 6-1 and falling in the nightcap 4-2. Let's go to Keegan, who's out in Lawrence. Keegan, hopefully doing well after a scary Friday night, Friday afternoon. How you doing?
Not good. Yeah, the weather out here was pretty crazy last night.
No doubt.
But first off, Vern, just want to commend you for doing this every single day, night in and night out, knowing that at the end of the night, it's going to be us sitting here talking about how bad we are. So props to you for doing that every day. Question I wanted to ask you, though, a bigger picture. Last year, you know, we made the changes with Alex Zumwalt taking over the hitting program. And I'm just curious, you know, from your perspective, what are you seeing different this year with guys like Melendez, Prado, and the whole bunch of them, why strikeouts are considerably higher this year, and just the drop-off we had when last year making that change seemed to have an uptick for a while. But what are you seeing that's different, that's basically looking like we're taking two steps back this year?
Understood. Yeah, I don't think it's one thing for everyone. I believe that you got to go case by case. You mentioned Melendez and Prado. Prado's always struck out. And you can deal with it so long as the extra base hits and the walks are there. And the extra base hits have been there for most of the season. Appreciate the phone call. Now, the punch outs are becoming an issue. Like I said, 60 strikeouts in his last 126 at-bats. Yeah, that's concerning. To me, what I'm seeing from Nick Prado is pressing. Now he's dropped in the lineup. He's hitting eighth in game two. Doubles to lead off the third. Hits a one-out single in the fifth. Strikes out through swinging through a slider in the dirt in his final AB. What I'm seeing from Prado, and this is just my opinion, but what I'm seeing from Prado of late is a lot like what we saw from Bobby in April, what we've seen from Salvi in stretches. Because remember, Prado returned and was very good for May, very good in June. Maybe the tail end of June is when you really started to see the strikeouts, especially the strikeout looking at the fastball. You started to see those really spike. And to me, it coincides with Prado becoming one of the three most important bats on this team. He starts hitting really well in May, continues into June. They move him up in the lineup, and it became very obvious that if Prado and Bobby didn't jumpstart the offense, if they weren't driving the bus, as HUD would say, if they weren't driving the bus, that bus was going to stay in neutral. Just like Bobby in April. Bobby knew. Just like Bobby's known really throughout his Royals career that, man, there's a lot of pressure on my shoulders. Sometimes maybe he puts too much on his shoulders. But early on, Bobby was trying to win games with one swing, win games with one defensive web gem. And honestly, personally, I think the emergence of Michael Garcia, the cool, calm demeanor of Michael, who, by the way, made a perfect throw home in the sixth inning to get Randy Arozarena out at the dish. I think that level demeanor of Michael Garcia has benefited Bobby Witt Jr., to be quite honest with you. But Prado, yeah, I see Prado just putting too much pressure on himself. I see him pressing. MJ Melendez, what I've seen from him, is a guy that just needs to help the team win. I know they don't win very often, but I've heard other big leaguers talk about, how do you add value? Kyle Isbell adds value, even if he's hitting 207, he plays a gold glove center field. Even when Bobby was struggling offensively, when he would get on, he could steal a base here and there. He could still make a play at shortstop. He was still a plus defender. So even when the team's losing 5 of 6, 8 of 10, Bobby could drive home going, well, at least I'm helping the team with my glove, with my arm, with my legs. Isbell could say, well, at least I'm doing something with my glove. Nick Prado, who again, 2 for 3 today with a run scored and was flashing leather all day at first base. The play he made in the seventh inning with a man on third and nobody out, saving a run there was, again, Nick Prado is a gold glove caliber first baseman. So even when he's punching out left and right, he still feels as if he's contributing and helping the team win. He's bringing value day in and day out. What value can MJ Melendez convince himself he's bringing to the table as he's driving home? Now, I'm not talking about today, right? Because MJ went 2 for 8, had a pair of base hits. Hopefully, and a stolen base. Hopefully that makes him feel good. But I'm talking about when he's struggling. Well, he's still learning the corner outfield, and you don't learn new positions at the big league level. But he's working, he's trying. But defensively, man, I don't know if I'm helping out my teammates. And guys, this isn't a selfish thing. It's a selfless thing. Because these guys all came up together, were drafted together, want to win together. So, okay, defensively, I'm not getting it done. Offensively, I'm striking out. I'm not hitting home runs. I was projected to hit around 20 home runs this season, and I'm stuck at, what, six? So you got to put yourself in his shoes. Again, a 24-year-old driving home every night, his first big league, full big league season. When his head hits the pillow, what is he telling himself? Hey, nice job today, MJ. Where? What? I mean, it's making me anxious thinking about it. Okay, so then you show up to the ballpark, you put your work in, and you're trying so hard to do something right that you press. Or you start beating yourself up mentally, and you want to me, MJ has a similar, and we'll see. Maybe this will change. Again, he had a hit in both games today. Hopefully he keeps this going. But when you're not doing much to help your team win, when you can't convince yourself of the value that you bring to your ball club, you find yourself in a position that, in my opinion, Mike Moustakas found himself in back in 2014 when he was optioned to AAA. Where I don't even know if you're having fun out there. Even after this loss, this 4-2 loss, I look down in the Royals dugout. There's MJ Melendez with his head in his hand, looking at the tablet. I would imagine watching his most recent at-bat, a fly out to center field. Now, the body language hasn't been as poor as it was about a month ago. But honestly, I can't empathize because, you know, I was never a good athlete, but I can sympathize because I've seen plenty of ball players go through the exact same thing that it appears, in my opinion, that MJ Melendez is going through. And that is a lack of confidence because I don't know how I'm helping my brothers out. And if I'm not helping them, I'm hurting them. And man, if you start to believe that you're hurting your team, I don't know how you recover from that. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Royals lose 4-2. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. 4-2, the final score. Rays knock off the Royals and take both games of a day-night doubleheader. Brady Singer on the hill for the finale coming up on Sunday, 1:10 for the first pitch. I got the on-deck show beginning at 12 noon. Brady Singer facing Zach Eflin as the Royals hope to avoid a sweep. Let's go to the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, my grandpa passed away in December. He was one of the biggest Royals fans I knew. He was in the Buck O'Neill legacy seat on Billy Butler's debut. Vernie went to Game 3 of the ALDS when we swept the Angels. He made it to all but four of the Major League Baseball stadiums before he passed. Vernie loved baseball. Tonight, all of his family, all of his kids, grandkids, great-grandkids were able to come together at Kauffman Stadium to celebrate and remember him. While a win would have been nice, this will be a game we won't soon forget. Vern, I'm royal blue to the day I die because of my grandfather. Go Royals. Thank you very much for sharing that with me. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Gotta be proud of you. That's... I mean, what am I going to say? That is beautiful. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If that's not what it's all about, I don't know. But you got a great family. Good for you. And, prayers to you all. What a way to honor them. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Lynn in Ottawa. Lynn, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Good evening, Bert.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'd like to share a few things with you.
Let's hear it.
I was, first of all, I'm a Kansas City baseball fan, have been since I was 12 years old. I stood in line out at Swope Park when Mayor H. Roe Bartle handed out free tickets to all the youth to go to the first game that the Kansas City Athletics played here. I was there, went with my dad, okay? Uh-huh. I watched the Kansas City Athletics play the same kind of baseball we're seeing today. You know, they had a bunch of wannabe pitchers that were washed up. That's what we got today. But anyway, watched Athletics baseball till Charlie Finley came to town, bought the team, and they were a mediocre team. They won some games and, you know, played it. I don't think they ever made it to the playoffs till they went to Oakland. But anyway,
right.
So then we were without a team for a lot of years.
Yeah, I'm aware. Let's fast forward to 2023. What do you got?
Oh, okay. Well, what I was going to say is I went in the Air Force, came out in 69 when Ewing Kauffman brought the Royals to town.
Yeah, and then George.
Kauffman invested his life in the Kansas City Royals. Okay.
Yeah.
But when he passed away, things went to trash.
Yeah, and then and the board.
The old boy from Arkansas.
Yeah, Mr. Glass, David Glass, yep.
David Glass.
Mm-hmm.
He had a team exactly like what we got now until he decided to spend some of the millions that he made.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
Okay, so then finally they come up with, they had a great organization in the 70s when Whitey Herzog managed that team.
It was a different world as well. It was a different sport. It was a different everything.
You are absolutely
no comparisons
right.
to today. No comparisons.
But anyway, so they went to the World Series.
Holy crap.
In 85.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand this. What's the point going to end up being? I got Kurt Nelson I could call for all of this.
Okay. The point is what I call fan loyalty, and we have none here. John Sherman is nothing but a windbag, and until they spend some money and get some quality pitching, that's the problem. They have no pitching. And until they're willing to spend the bucks and get some quality pitchers, it's going to be like this for who knows how long. That's all I have to say.
All right. Well, all right. Appreciate the phone call. How about it? I'm still kind of hung up on what he said right out of the gate. We got a bunch of washed up pitchers. Well, I've been here for 12 and a half hours, and I just watched two 25-year-olds combine to throw 11 innings of three-run baseball. One was making his third start. The other was making his 10th big league start. That's not washed up. Tomorrow I'm going to watch Brady Singer, who's 26. He can't be washed up at 26. Tuesday I'm going to watch Daniel Lynch, who's also 26. Okay, Jordan Lyles, you want to say he's washed up? I'll disagree, but okay, fine. You know, Zach Greinke, okay, fine. That's two starters. They're not a bunch of Now, your overall point, yes, pitching is king. Yeah, I agree. Now, ideally, Alec Marsh and Daniel Lynch and hopefully the return of Chris Bubich sometime next season to go along with Brady Singer, Cole Reagans. You know, hopefully some of the young pitching that we're watching this season turns into, okay, maybe not the game one starter or the game two starter, but maybe you got some game three starters, game four starters on this team. Maybe one of them turns into a game two starter, maybe. But I'm not going to fight you, Lynn, of course. This team needs pitching. This team needs a lot. This team needs a cleanup hitter. Probably a number five hitter and a number six hitter as well. Andy in Carthage, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
How's it going, Vern?
All right, buddy. How you doing, man?
pretty good. Hey, just headed back to Southwest Missouri after seeing the doubleheader. I'm a season ticket holder for the last 10 or 12 years, and I'm still making the trip. Not every game, but I go to as many as I can. But I see a lot of these players in Northwest Arkansas. And I saw Alec Marsh pitch about 2 months ago on a double-A field. And I know that everybody doesn't want to have patience at this point, but that's what we have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what a dismount.
Nick Prado at first. Garcia at third. Again, I saw 90% of those kids in Arkansas, and they may or may not be 2014-15, but we put.
You're kind of breaking up there. Yeah, yeah, I think you're in the wrong part of Southwest Missouri right now because that phone line is crapping out on you. I appreciate it, Andy. Thank you very much for the phone call. Sorry we couldn't hear the rest of the message. But yeah, yeah, you're right. You do need patience. And for those saying, oh, this isn't the same guys from 2014, they're not as talented as the guys that ultimately became champions in 2015. As someone that was here, you know, I mentioned earlier, y'all didn't love Ned Yost until, you know, I guess maybe once Wade Davis struck out Josh Donaldson and you were going to a second straight World Series, maybe that's when you said, okay, Ned, we like you. You didn't like Mike Moustakas until probably the ALCS against Baltimore. You know, you really weren't. Now, you loved Hosmer, you know, aesthetically. You loved the idea and the looks of Eric Hosmer, but the 4-3, 100-mile-per-hour groundouts. A lot of these guys you didn't love until the championship came to Kansas City. Okay, you loved Salvi right out of the gate. You wanted to love Moose and Haas right out of the gate, but you turned on them pretty quick. I remember the phone calls, so you can deny it all you want. I remember you clamoring to send Moose down. Cut Moose. Send Hosmer down. Lorenzo Cain's too injury prone. Get rid of him. Now, Selby's the only one you really love. Gerard Dyson, I guess you kind of did. Now, what's Esky doing in the leadoff spot? Ned's an idiot. Thanks for the phone call. But no one wants to hear patience, and I understand it to a certain extent, because if you're a Kansas Cityan, this is year seven. Year seven of the rebuild, but it's... And that's your prerogative. It'd be my advice to you to view this as year one. Year one of J.J. Piccolo's Kansas City Royals. I think that's the only fair thing to do. I'm not saying you need to happily embrace it, but that's the fact, my friends. Few more from the text line before we get out of here. No, we don't have Dan anymore. Ah, Dan, sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about that, Dan. I appreciate you hanging on, Dan. Hopefully we'll hear from you tomorrow following the finale. Katie on the East Coast writes in, Vern, I'm all good with an evaluation season, but for blank's sake, can we not be one of the worst teams ever? Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Katie. You can evaluate a 110-loss season. That'd be fine. Right now, boys, on pace to lose .117. From the 816, Vern, what do you think the chances are that ownership gives Bobby Witt Jr. a long-term contract to be the franchise player? What are the chances? 35% chance. Now, I'm not saying this offseason, I would say, you know, 10% chance. But for it to happen, period, I would say a 35% chance. And it's not even an ownership thing. You know, Cleveland wouldn't sign Bobby Witt Jr.
I don't think Tampa would sign Bobby Witt Jr. to the kind of contract that he's going to command. Now, yeah, Tampa signs Wander Franco and Cleveland signs Jose Ramirez to very team-friendly deals. If Bobby will sign a team-friendly deal, yeah, they'd sign him up right now. But if I'm Bobby or Bobby's representation, no, we got plenty of money. We're not opposed to taking it to free agency. We trust our talent, and we think the best is yet to come. So we're going to hold out, wait a little bit longer. Let's let this kid really tap into the potential, and we've seen it of late, right? Since the beginning of June, he's hitting over 300, an OPS north of 825. 23-year-old shortstops with an OPS around 825. Those guys are getting $200, $300 million when they hit free agency. So until you're coming at me with that, save it. That would be my response if I'm Bobby Witt Jr. Now, I'm a $300 million guy, at least. You don't believe so? That's fair. Maybe I haven't been that guy yet, but I will be. And I'm comfortable with my signing bonus. I'm comfortable with my life right now. I don't need to take a hometown discount. Not yet. But maybe you will. That's just my opinion. That's how I'd go about it if I was him. From the 316, Vern, can you put a number of years it's going to take to see new talent come from drafts and trades and become watchable with this new regime? I don't think there's any reason why this team shouldn't be competitive in 2025. No reason why they shouldn't be better next year. You shouldn't lose 100 games next year, and you should be competitive in 2025. But as far as talent, I mean, you saw one already today in Cole Reagans. You acquired him from the Rangers in the Aroldis Chapman deal. So you're all Drew Waters. Royals acquired him last year at the deadline. Samad Taylor, you acquired him at the deadline. Okay, that's reaching a little bit, but Drew Waters has been pretty solid for about 3, 4, 5 weeks now. I mean, I know I'm intrigued by him. I'm cautiously optimistic about what the 24-year-old could be moving forward. From the 816, Vern, I'm driving back from the game, and man, I was really impressed by Cole Reagans. He did an exemplary job of keeping the Rays off balance, mixing speeds and movement. He should be a mainstay in the rotation for the rest of the season. Yeah, I agree. I think you'll see him sooner rather than later making a start again for the Royals. And great point, man. He threw all four pitches, 9 pitches into the game. Fastball, changeup, curveball, cutter. 9 pitches in, you've seen it all. Well, maybe some would say, maybe hold something back for the second time through the lineup. I, for a kid making his Royals debut, I thought it was impressive, showing the confidence in all four pitches. Don't see that very often. From the 816, Vern, an evaluation year doesn't mean that wins don't matter. They should play to win and evaluate any potential starter. Send Massey to AAA, send MJ to AAA, send Kyle Isbell to AAA, and call up Nick Lofton. Okay. An evaluation year does not mean wins don't matter. Okay. Play to win. All right. Well, then how do you evaluate if you're playing to win? Because if you're playing to win, some of these guys aren't playing as much. You don't get the opportunity to evaluate. Now, what's there to be gained by having Massey, MJ, and Isbell at AAA? I know that Isbell gets it done at AAA. I've seen Massey in Omaha. I don't need to see that anymore. Furthermore, you only said bring up Nick Lofton. Nick Lofton's played, what, third base this season? You got a third baseman. So we're, hey, Nick Lofton, welcome to the big leagues. We got nowhere for you to play. And you want to get rid of Massey? Okay, so that means you want Nicky at second base. Okay, fine. You're done with MJ and you're done with Isbell, so we got Waters in center. Who's replacing these guys? Okay, Nick Lofton, fine. He doesn't replace any of the three. But who else? Who else do you want to see? Who's down there at AAA? Oh, we got to get Nate Eaton back here. The Tyler Gentry. Come on, man. I get disappointed. I get disappointed in the fact that you're like, you know, send these guys down and call up the kids. They are kids. They're the ones that you want to see. You think there's a crop of better talent down in Omaha right now? From the 303, Vern, tough day for the Royals, but hey, at least they're not the Oakland A's. It's true. Royals are a game and a half better than the Oakland A's. Now, you look at run differential, they're 90 runs better than the Oakland A's. Yeah, you think this season's been bad, and it has been. Imagine being outscored by an additional 90 runs. I can't even fathom that. I feel like, well, I know it's once a week the Royals are giving up double-digit runs. Another 90? Good God, Oakland. Raj in the Ozarks writes in, Vern, say what you want, evaluate all you want, but our manager, fault or no fault, players with talent or none, is about to set the Major League Baseball record for worst winning percentage recorded in his first 100 games. In the history of baseball, Vern. Signed, Raj in the Ozarks. Yeah, okay, whatever. That doesn't mean really much to me. Like I said, you put Bruce Bochy, Ned Yost, Connie Mack on the bench. They're good for maybe one or two wins. And I think that's being incredibly generous. Spike in St. Joe writes in. Spike, thanks for the hat earlier today. RG... I don't know if I say the last name right. Caton? RG Caton Commercial Flooring? Spike, I love this hat. Anyway, Spike writes in, Vern, what type of grade do you give JJ for this year's draft? Incomplete. And I'm not going to pretend as if I can break down Blake Mitchell or any of the other Blakes that they drafted. I don't think it's fair to grade a draft a week after it. You got to give me at least 2 years. So, sorry, Spike, I got to sidestep your question. From the 785, Vern, I can't take this team seriously when our cleanup guy is hitting 200. Okay. I mean, I can't believe how often I'm hearing about the cleanup guy. So you're telling me if the team was 41 games below 500, but the cleanup hitter was hitting 280, you'd go, okay, you know what, this is all right. What are you talking about? I mean, how many 41 game below 500 teams have you watched? Oh, yeah, Vern, I know they're bad, but I remember bad teams that had really good lineups. No, what are you talking about? You're 41 games below 500. You don't have a lot of good players. That's how you end up 41 games below 500. Now, maybe some of them will turn into good players as experience and age and maturation takes hold, but I don't know what to tell you. My game notes following this 4-2 loss are presented by J Southland Tow Service. Royals suffer their first doubleheader sweep since 2019 against the Bronx Bombers. Again, 4-2, the final score. The record is now 26-67. Coming up tomorrow, it's Brady Singer squaring off with Zach Eflin. Game 3 of this 3-game set with the Rays. We get started at 12 noon with the On Deck Show. I got 2 tickets for you to see Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, or who's ever left in that Mets rotation when they come to Kansas City to take on your boys in blue. I got 2 tickets to the game. You can win them tomorrow on the On Deck Show beginning at 12 noon. Thanks to Blake Schneiders for the help back at the studio. Zant Durham for the help as well. I appreciate you listening. Did we just do 90 minutes after that
You've
one?
Been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.